fishing all the time. Keep it going fishing too.
Alrighty, it's that time for a fishing report. Leaf is here. How you doing, Leaf?
Oh, I'm not doing too shabby.
I knew you'd be in because our last fishing report mentions Memorial Day and rain, which it did not do this year.
That happens every time I try to switch from prognostication of water and fish to taking a stab at weather. It just comes around. It's like, that's not your profession.
Yeah, you know what they say about people who predict the weather,
right?
You don't know what you're doing.
So. Well, I'm glad. You know, I'm super happy it worked out like that. That was best case scenario for anybody coming into town. You know, I camp amongst a bunch of them, which I wouldn't usually do, but my best buddy kind of talked me into it.
Oh, you went into a multi-camp, huh?
Oh, gosh, yes. The busiest one up the Chewook. But, you know, it was great. I just faced my lawn chair towards the river, and it was so loud up there still. That's all you... We were trying to talk around camp. It'd be like, oh, wow, just a second. Let's step away from the river. What'd you say?
Oh, wow.
But we had fun, man. We had... We had bow and arrow, we had slingshots, we had laser tag, we had baseball, frisbee golf. We really just made the most of the camp games.
Did you get into mushrooms?
Not at all. You know, we did take a drive up, trying to kind of track down an old buddy of mine's areas, you know, cottonwood flats that he talked about up there, and realized that pretty much every cottonwood flat held a campsite, which held folks. So it just kind of, you know, didn't happen, but you know, we... really enjoyed a hike from the top to the bottom of the falls, an old trail that my buddies and I have always used up there. That's a lot of fun. Takes you through all seven waterfalls, you know, and took the kids down and, you know, got to show them that for the first time. And my buddy's grandkid, who's from out of town, that just doesn't really get exposure to the outdoors at all, enough at all.
Oh, I bet he flipped.
And so, yeah, it was great, you know, having him and all the kids out.
Nice.
A big shout out to my little buddy, Damon.
Hey, Damon.
But yeah, you know, just had a great time doing that. We did go up to Buck Lake and give a little stab at fishing. You know, it was not really happening up there. It was midday by the time we went up and gave it a shot. And it looked like other folks had been a little down on their luck at the midday time. But I know the fish are moving around up there. If you were actually focused on fishing, probably do just fine.
So are you, let's move to moving water here. Have you been picking out spots, finding some water that you could fish?
Yeah. You know, I have, I was dinking around trying to find some spots. You know, the first few days was very fast water, not much luck. And then, just in the past couple days, I've started to find some water I'm liking. I've been catching fish. I've been throwing, you know, of course, some sinking line with a streamer, getting that down and swinging it through stuff. And then also, you know, just it's never too early to try a dry fly around here. It seems crazy, but if you're finding the right water, we've got little yellow Sally's been coming off. And I was just kind of thinking on my drive in here that the giant salmon flies that we have, it's just a tiny hatch of a monstrous fly that I've mostly seen in the tributaries. Like I was first exposed to them in the Twisp as I was crawling in and out of the trap box up at the weir there, thinking, oh my God, what is this like 2.5 inch, almost 3 inch long black alien bug?
Wow.
And, you know, got to know them a little bit better. And I think it's the Californicae, if I remember right, the stone flies.
And that by the red hot chili peppers?
Yeah, right. Californicacea fly. but they have like a cool patch of orange right on their abdomen. And the rest of them is pretty much black. And you don't see that unless you flip them over. It'd creep you out to even try, but
I was going to say
they don't bite you.
That's a really big bug, though. What's it hatch out to? A big flying?
Yeah, big old flying. You know, almost like dragonfly-looking wings, but they keep them back, pressed over their back until they're flying.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they're, you know, the whole egg-laying process and everything, I think, happens, you know, I don't know about it so much here, but in other places, it's like famous. It makes clouds, and guys can follow the hatches downriver as they come off over the course of hours, it just is this insane thing. And they'll cover everything. So here it's just...
So you found a fly to fish, try that on?
Well, yeah. You know, there's definitely some flies that can be used to that. We'll get to that towards the end, because it actually ties in with our North 40 stuff here at the end.
Oh, good.
They must be reading our minds, but no, they're just good at knowing seasons too.
Yeah.
But, that little bug up there, I've even seen them in Bridge Creek, or I should say big bug, in these little streams. And so I'm starting to think that that's, you know, how these cutthroat and other fish are kind of getting their recondition on and starting to feed as they're coming back out of spawn. They're chilling out up in those calmer streams. Mm-hmm. Bridge Creek, you know, is just really calm mm-hmm. now. It was crazy how that one cold night we just had a couple nights ago mm-hmm. just slammed the brakes on the rush up there. And all of a sudden, it's just like ankle deep, clear water, really mellow. Steelhead are wrapping it up, you know, but I think it's a perfect opportunity for those fish because I've always seen these big stoneflies around Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. Well, the first time I saw them in Bridge Creek was when we were doing a mushroom camp up there at Bridge Creek. And so it got me to realizing that that's really a good bug back in there. I've seen them all the way to the top of Twist River in small water. And so obviously it's their good first meal
yeah.
that they're getting after spawn. And so that really explains why they kind of drop out into the methow after that, still just with stoneflies on their mind.
You know, this is interesting, I think, how kind of perfect Mother Nature handles the different cycles. These bugs need a big protein boost. Mm-hmm. There's some hatches, like these big bugs. You can imagine how that is going to be totally on their radar.
Totally.
They're
exactly
looking,
what
they're
need.
They're looking for a Big Mac, and here, exactly. here is one.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I mean, I'm telling you, folks, if you want to learn how to fish as well as Leaf here, you got to become a little bit of an entomologist, or it certainly helps.
It comes into play at a point, you know. Once you're getting to that point where you're serious enough about it, mm-hmm. you just can't avoid it.
Yeah.
It just you can throw stimulator style flies or just general stimulation style mm-hmm. bugs, both wet flies and dry flies, mm-hmm. That will trigger a bite in the right time. But when fish are really zoned in on, and the reason I got into fly fishing really was to get to match the hatch.
Yeah.
When they're really zoned in on something, that's all they yeah. want. And that's just, you better be ready to give it to them.
Well, yeah, and you can get the information secondhand from somebody, but like you just said, it can change hour to hour. It can move downstream.
Yep.
It'll be different tomorrow. You need to understand the dynamics that go into that mm-hmm. bug hatching. So it's super interesting.
Absolutely.
Makes it all the more fun to get into. So
you never want to hear that should have been here last week. And like we were saying with stoneflies, it's yeah. like you should have been here 15 minutes ago. It's
yeah.
so crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, you won't see them much, you know, in the daytime up there. If you're looking real close, you will. It's hard to use nymphs in the Twist River. I get a lot of people clearly trying to find information on Twisp and Chewuk and how to fish them. I would really break it down pretty easily in that the Twist River, it just falls so fast, and it's got big rocks, mm-hmm. hardly any soft bottom. So I'm just using dry flies and streamers. I don't really even bother nymphing that river at all. You just kind of can't. But you get into the case of, and I should say, not skipping over the upper methow. It's a weird, like, mm-hmm. Definitely more like the Twist River, but has some slower fall in smaller rock like the Chewuk, but still yeah. no tannin, no real soft bottom. You get into the Chewuk, and you do start to find some soft bottom, some sand, some even some mud in some back eddies. Mm-hmm. You got a slower fall in a lot of places, and you can find runs that nymphing is super productive on. It gets a little harder to find runs that lay out good for streamer fishing, but it is great for dry fly. And that goes across all three of these rivers. Mm-hmm. So that kind of really is how I approach those rivers. And when we start off the season here, once the river slows down on the methow, once the water slows down there, I'll go from using the streamers, because nymphs won't stay down at all, essentially, and dry flies, to starting to work in some nymphs as that water column is slow enough to let them hang vertically mm-hmm. in there, not just spin them around and up mm-hmm. to the surface. So, you know, there again, starting off streamer, dry fly, but then working into the nymphs on the methow. And
nice.
And it just varies. There again, got to pay attention to hatches and just work those hatches.
That is the word of the day. It just varies.
That's right. It is very variable.
And it always is, but particularly this time of year when you just can't trust the locations, every location at this time, and yeah, mm-hmm. you just got to do it right.
So not to leave out the still water completely.
I was going to say, yeah.
Glenn, Sarah, and my buddy Jimbo went up, and sounds like they did really well at Black Pine. They're working hare's ear about 10 feet under. And so that says to me that the fish are really looking for a calabatus. That hare's ear looks a lot like a calabatus nymph.
Okay.
I also got word from some folks that that I take out as clients, some buddies of mine that actually listened to our suggestion last week and headed up to Rock Lakes.
And, oh, good. You got one.
Yeah, it sounded super cool. They had an experience there again. Like, we had that mushroom camp up there a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. And I'd gotten like almost 100 fish in 6 hours, I figured.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, well, they had a similar experience. I don't know if they were hardcore enough to fish it super hard for 6 hours, you know, mm-hmm. and try to get every fish they could, but I bet they got, you know, more than they could count. And I had reports from my buddy Noah that he was there working double nymphs.
Oh.
And so they got two fish at once, two very nice fish, not just like little perch, you know, like we've talked about in the past, but, you know, two different trout trying to probably go two different ways at the same time under your bobber. And while they're, you know, really just fishing the crap out of it, I guess they had fun at the upper lake, you know, pitching from the rock pile for some brookies. But sounds like one of the greatest experiences for them was watching the cougar trout around the lake as they were sitting out there safely in their float tubes.
Always, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it for Rock Lake.
Yeah. But there it did say he for the first time ever broke his head net trying to fend off the mosquitoes. So definitely sounds like, and I've experienced it up there, bring your military grade DEET if you're heading up there. But gosh, don't let it discourage you either.
No, I know. It's kind of a big mosquito year, I think.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. Gosh, they've been getting us pretty bad lately out there.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess that's pretty much it, you know, a little bit of moving water, a little bit of still water. You can get into Black Pine there, just a little bit of a narrow, not quite so good way to get there on Libby Creek, which sounds kind of like the problem with Chapaca over there. A bummer for people. Speaking of the Calabatus hatch, that's the signature hatch there. And sounds like, according to my buddy Keith over there at North 40, not safe, like some hairballs are doing it, but I don't think you should even try. So, just stick to the Medhow or some of those other lakes lower down in the Sinlihican over there. Okay. But speaking of North 40, those folks have the perfect Echo 3 5 weight with a fighting butt for all you nymphaholics out there. Perfect rod for this early nymphing season when you got to pick up weight, put out weight, and do some nice mends with your nymphs there. So I can't recommend that kind of gear enough there. But they also have the Zirtle Bug, which is kind of like a girdle bug. It really could be anything from like a stonefly, a big fat salmon fly perhaps, coming off the Twist River or Bridge Creek, all the way down to like a minnow or a crawdad. And they're for $1.50. It's hard to go wrong because that's a lot of material there.
So, Zirtle Bug.
But if anybody else would like to check out that selection they got there, they can get it to your doorstep. Check them out online at north40flyshop.com. If you'd like to get any fishing tips or book a trip with me, man, this season is going to be epic, and I'm thinking I'm going to start hitting the water in the boat probably next week. You can get a hold of me at medhowfishingadventures@gmail.com. You can check out the blog or podcast at Fly Fishers Pro Shop, and you can give me a call the old-fashioned way at 509-429-7298. Take care, y'all. Don't forget, get that fish right on. Fishing, baby, gone fishing too.